Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today we have a really special episode for you for two reasons. First off, today's episode is the first episode available on WTSM-TV. I'm so excited to be able to bring this show to television. And for those of you who are new to Drive On, I'm so glad that you found us. This show has existed as a podcast for about 4 years. And now, in addition to the podcast, we're also putting the content on television through WTSM-TV. I'm really excited to be here. For those of you who are tuning in maybe for the first time, maybe don't know much about who I am as the host here, let me give you a little background. I served for about 6 years in the Army as an infantryman, and I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010. My younger brother and I were deployed at the same time, and tragically, he didn't make it home. Like a lot of combat veterans, I struggled quite a bit after coming back home. Not only did I have to deal with PTSD and the stresses of combat, like so many other veterans who have seen combat have to deal with, but I also had to deal with the grief, the guilt, and other difficulties that surrounded losing my brother. Now, fortunately, I had a great support system in place, and that helped a lot. Unfortunately, some of the friends that I served with weren't so lucky, and we started losing them to the war in their head after coming back home. I began realizing that I wasn't the only one who struggled after returning home. Those guys that I served with who we ended up losing, they were struggling. And there's so many others who struggle after returning home. And I wanted to do something to not only help the guys that I served with, but to help all veterans who feel like all hope is lost and that maybe nobody understands them or that they have nothing left to live for. And so that's how this show was born. It was, and it continues to be, a way for veterans to share their struggles, the things that they've dealt with during or after their service, and how they've overcome those struggles. It serves to be a source of inspiration or a glimmer of hope to the veterans who think that all hope is lost. We also talk to people who provide different kinds of therapies to veterans, things that may or may not be found on the Department of Veterans Affairs website. There may be things like art therapy, equestrian therapy, outdoor excursions or recreation, and other resources like that, which may resonate with a veteran who feels like he or she has tried everything that there is out there and that nothing has been working. But maybe one of those things does resonate. And when you're exposed to new resources like these, the ones that I've mentioned, you might find that one thing that you haven't tried yet, and maybe it's the thing that pulls you out of that dark place that you're in. Now, I know a lot of this sounds pretty deep, pretty dark. And while we do talk about serious topics, we try to have fun, too, on this show. We'll laugh at ourselves, enjoy good-natured jokes about other branches or different things that happen in the military that we all can kind of relate to. And we show that it's okay to laugh again. Now, at the beginning of this episode, I said that there were two things that make this episode special. And the first was that this is the first episode that we're airing on WTSM-TV. And the second is that this is an extended Memorial Day episode, a special Memorial Day episode. And in this episode, we're going to cover what Memorial Day is, and more importantly, what it isn't. We're going to hear from Gold Star family members to talk about their loved ones who sacrificed everything for us. We're going to learn what a Gold Star family is. We're going to talk to people from various organizations who support the families of our fallen soldiers and Marines and airmen, sailors. We're going to cover why Memorial Day is more than just a day off from work and backyard barbecues. But importantly, we'll also talk about why those things are still okay to enjoy, despite the fact that Memorial Day is kind of a solemn occasion. So, thanks so much for being here to check out this special episode. I hope you enjoy it. And stick around, because we're going to cover all of that stuff that we just talked about, and it's going to be really, I think, an incredible episode. So stick around. So today we're talking about Memorial Day. Today we're going to explore its history, what it means, and how it's different from Veterans Day and other military-related holidays. We'll also talk about Gold Star families and the way that people celebrate Memorial Day. So let's jump in. So picture this. It's the aftermath of the Civil War. The nation's grieving. People are looking for a way to honor the soldiers who lost their lives in battle. In 1868, a day called Decoration Day was established. People would decorate the graves of fallen soldiers with flowers, and they'd pay their respects. And this was the early beginnings of what we now know as Memorial Day. Decoration Day quickly gained popularity as communities across the country started decorating grave sites with flowers and wreaths. The act of decorating these hallowed grounds served as a visible reminder of the sacrifices made by the brave men who fought and died for their country. Over time, Memorial Day expanded beyond honoring those who died fighting in the Civil War to encompass all military personnel who sacrificed their lives in service to their country in all of our nation's conflicts. And in 1971, it became a federal holiday, which is now observed on the last Monday in May. And as we celebrate Memorial Day each year, we not only remember the soldiers who died on the battlefield, but also the families who were left behind. We honor the resilience and the strength of the loved ones who endured this profound loss of their sons, their daughters, their spouses, their siblings. Their sacrifices are immeasurable, and their stories serve as a reminder of the enduring impact of war. Those families who lost loved ones on the battlefield are referred to as Gold Star families. You'll hear that term referred to several times throughout this episode as we talk to several Gold Star family members. It's a club, if you want to call it that, that no family wants to join because the cost of admission is the life of a loved one. Gold Star symbolizes a sacrifice made by their fallen hero. It serves as a reminder of the profound loss that they've experienced and the incredible strength that they possess. Gold Star families are an integral part of our military community, and we honor and support them with the utmost respect and gratitude. Now, I also want to clear up a common misconception. Memorial Day and Veterans Day are both important holidays, but they have different purposes. And while Memorial Day focuses on honoring those who died in military service, Veterans Day celebrates the service of all veterans, including those who are still with us. It's a day to express gratitude and appreciation for their dedication and contributions to our country. And most veterans will cringe when they are thanked for their service on Memorial Day, since it isn't about them on Memorial Day. So Memorial Day is a time for remembrance, reflection, and gratitude. People across the country celebrate in many different ways, but the underlying theme is the same. We're honoring the fallen heroes. Many communities organize parades where veterans, military personnel, community members, they march together to pay tribute to those who made this ultimate sacrifice. And these parades, these different ways to commemorate the day, is a powerful display of unity and respect. Other people will visit cemeteries and memorials. They'll place flags or flowers or wreaths, personal mementos on the graves of fallen soldiers. This act of remembrance keeps their memory alive and shows gratitude for their sacrifice. Some families gather for picnics, barbecues, outdoor activities, and they cherish the freedom that these brave men and women fought to preserve. It's a time to appreciate the simple joys of life and spend quality time with loved ones. For those who are flying American flags on Memorial Day, there's actually a correct way to fly the flag too on Memorial Day. The flag should be flown at half staff until noon on Memorial Day. And when the flag is flown at half staff, it should be raised first to the peak just for a moment and then lowered to the half staff position. And then at noon, it should be raised to the peak for the remainder of the day. In 2000, the National Moment of Remembrance Act was passed into law as well. This law encourages all Americans to pause wherever they are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence to remember and honor those who died in service to their country. You'll often find patriotic ceremonies, concerts, and other special events held across the country. These events bring communities together to honor and remember those who served. Remember, there's no right or wrong way to celebrate Memorial Day. Those who fought and died for our freedoms want us to be able to enjoy those freedoms. So there's no right or wrong way to celebrate. The key is to just take a moment to pause, reflect, and express gratitude for the sacrifices that were made by these heroes. In the introduction to this episode, I mentioned that my younger brother, Stephen, was killed in action in Afghanistan. We were both deployed to Afghanistan at the same time, but stationed in different locations. So while we were there, we never saw each other, but we were there at the same time. So his death, unfortunately, makes me a Gold Star brother, and my parents a Gold Star mother and a Gold Star father. Prior to my brother's death, Memorial Day, to me, was another day off from work or school. It was a day that we usually had a barbecue or some other outdoor gathering. As a kid, I'd march in our town's parade with my Little League team, and I always thought it was so cool seeing all the American flags along the parade route, all the people waving their flags and cheering as we'd walk by, and getting candy from the firefighters, who they'd throw it off the side of their trucks to all the kids. And while I knew what the day was about, I knew it was about remembering the people who died in war. It didn't have a lot of meaning to me as a kid. I didn't really know anybody who had died that way. I knew that people did die in war. That was just the nature of war. And that those were the people who we were remembering on Memorial Day, but those were other people. That sort of thing won't happen or didn't happen to my family. At least that's what I thought at the time. But the day that my brother was killed, I found myself in a firefight on a mountaintop outside of a small Afghan village, just 15 minutes after receiving notification that he was killed. And after returning home, I wanted nothing more than to grieve alone with my family. And as we turned down the street towards my parents' house, I saw the street lined with news vans from every local television, radio, and newspaper. The steady flow of reporters continued for a few weeks, and then it slowly trickled down a bit, but it would pick back up again around significant dates like Memorial Day and the anniversary of his death. Unlike many families who lose a loved one at home to things like disease, an accident, or natural causes, our family's worst day was broadcast throughout not only our town, but across the state and even across the country. There was no privacy. Even on the day of his funeral, news cameras lined up across the street from the church, and they were at the cemetery as well. So I guess I got really comfortable being in front of the camera, which is probably why I'm able to do this show. But Stephen was a hockey player. His high school hockey team won the state championship his senior year in high school. And he was dedicated to all of those who were in his life around him. He was dedicated to his family, his friends, his teammates. But he didn't take things too seriously. He'd always joke around and wouldn't leave you alone when you were having a bad day. He knew just the right buttons to push, and he'd dig so far under your skin that you couldn't help but start laughing, no matter what was bothering you. But he wasn't perfect, no one is, but he brought joy and happiness to everybody who was around him. From the first interview that our family did after his death to this day, it has been our mission to ensure that Stephen's memory doesn't fade away. He was only 25 when he was killed, and he gave up all of the days ahead of him for all of us. For you, for me, and for people that you or I, or even him for that matter, had never met before. And it would be a tragedy to me and our family if the message of his sacrifice and the type of person that we all lost died with him. And in my book, Surviving Son, I dive into the events leading up to my brother's death and the aftermath. The book, it's a bittersweet journey. It's filled with laughter and tears, and it captures the essence of Stephen's spirit. And while it's both funny and sad, joyful and tragic, it tells a story that many people wouldn't otherwise know, which is why I wanted to write this book. You can't get to know the type of guy that Stephen was with at least cracking a smile. And after knowing who he was, you can't learn of his tragic death without feeling sad for the loss too. He was more than just a fallen hero. He was my brother. He was a son. He was an uncle. He was a fiance. He was a friend. He was a coworker. He was so much more than all of that. But he was also a source of joy and inspiration to all of those who were around him. So join me as we honor all of those who made the ultimate sacrifice and remember the lives that were lost in service to our country. Let's make sure that their stories, like Stephen's, are never forgotten. And together, we can carry their legacies forward. Next up, I want to introduce my next guest, Debbie Lee. And if you've ever listened to the Jocko podcast, you may recognize Mama Lee. She was also on Drive On a couple years ago in episode 135. And she's the mother of Navy SEAL Mark Lee, who was killed in action on August 2nd, 2006. And she's also the CEO and founder of America's Mighty Warriors, which we'll be talking about in just a bit. But Debbie, thank you for joining me and welcome back.
You bet. It's an honor to be back. And thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
Absolutely. So first off, I want to talk about your journey as a Gold Star mother. Mark, your son, was an interesting person. Could you tell us a little bit about the type of guy he was?
Sure. Mark was my third child. He was my youngest and the last one that I had. And he came into our life in a really dark time for us. I married very young. My mom forbid me to marry him. I proved to her nobody forbids me to do anything. And she could see some things that were a concern there. And it ended, you know, he had problems with, he's an alcoholic and was very abusive when he drank and tried to kill me. And so I went through a divorce at 23 with a three-year-old, an 18-month-old. And because of the violence, they waived the waiting period on the divorce. So it was final the day that I filed. And I found out 2 weeks later I was pregnant with Mark. And they thought he was twins the whole time. So now I've got two little kids, don't get any child support, father's not in the picture, doesn't provide any help. And I'm like, how am I going to raise these two kids? And oh, surprise, now you're having another one that they think is twins. So I think my family's doubling. But obviously not as a newborn baby, but even at a young age, he had just such a sense of joy and happiness and humor. He was class clowns 2 years in a row in high school. And I'm like, this is going to get you to high school or to college. How? But he really did. He brought a lot of joy and laughter into our home. And even, you know, when he was deployed in Iraq, a lot of the guys said, you know, he would lighten it, obviously, at appropriate times, you know, but when maybe things were heavy and they were in the planning stages for a big mission the next day, once they had that done, you know, he'd throw some humor in to kind of lift the spirit. And he was always there for the underdog. If you were being picked on, Mark would be there standing up for you, telling people that's not right. And he didn't care. He, you know, wasn't embarrassed if somebody would pick on him because of him doing that. But very selfless, obviously stood up in the line of fire 3 times on his final day, gave his life to save his teammates. That was just part of who his character was, you know, all the time, a very giving, selfless young man. And very blessed to have him in my life for the 28 years that we did have. God could have picked anybody else to be his mama. And I got the blessing to be able to do that, along with my son, Christopher, who served in the Marines, my daughter, Cheryl, her husband served in the Army, and blessed with 11 grandkids. And then last year became a great grandma. I'm not quite sure how that's possible or how that happened, but I mean, I know how it happened. But
well, congratulations. You know, I did not know that, but the picture that you painted of Mark just reminds me of the type of person who just lights up the room when they walk in. They can see someone having a bad day, and they're gonna make sure that person turns it around, and it isn't gonna be okay to just not be okay. We're gonna fix this problem, right? That's the type of person that seems like so. It, right?
Yes.
Now, fast forward. Obviously, Mark was killed in Iraq, and that had to have had a profound impact on not only your life, your whole family's life. What does Memorial Day mean to you now, compared to maybe what it meant to you prior to his death? And how do you typically commemorate the day?
So I love that question, because I have been on a campaign since Mark died to try to educate people about what the real meaning of Memorial Day is. I get so irritated when you hear the commercials on TV, big blowout sale, get your mattress over Memorial Day, or even, you know, some that try to make it, bring it back to the military. And they're like, we're giving our veterans a discount on Memorial Day. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. If you know me, you know, 365 days of the year, I'm honoring our veterans and our Gold Star families. But as Gold Star family members, every day for us is Memorial Day, but we ask as a nation, just one day out of the year, to come together and honor and remember those sacrifices. You know, our loved ones gave their final breath, you know, in combat so that we could be free. And that's a day that we remember them. When it's not a celebratory day. You don't celebrate Memorial Day. That's the other things you see. Then as a Gold Star family, you just cringe. You're like, oh. And not that we're asking everybody to walk around with long faces and like you're at a funeral mourning all day long, but we need to come together. We need to educate people in our sphere of influence what it's really about. We need to educate those businesses that we go to. If you want to have a sale, if you want to give a discount to somebody, do that for our Gold Star family members. You know, when you're at your picnics, at your barbecues, at your events you're at, take time aside before you eat that day. And honor and recognize, if you know someone, read their names. If you know a family that's a Gold Star family member, say, hey, can we go to your loved one's grave with you today? You know, we just want you to know we're thinking of you. Would you like to go have lunch with us? Tell us more about your loved one. What did they like? You know, who were they? Just like you asked me about Mark. Tell me a little bit about him. You know, it's not like you asking that question to a Gold Star family member is going to be like, oh my goodness, I forgot they were gone. You know, right. We know they're not here. People are always afraid that if they mention that it's going to bother. And it's like, we want to be able to tell you who they were. That's how we keep their memories alive. But that day, there does need to be that solemn time. That's a heartfelt time where you and your family or those around you gather, whether you go to a cemetery and walk through those headstones and look at that price. And, you know, Mark's buried up at Fort Rosecrans, and often when I'm up there, I'll do a video and just go across all the graves and I'll say, that's the price of freedom. And it just is such an important day. And, you know, I don't blame people. I wasn't educated. I wasn't taught growing up what Memorial Day was about. I had a grandmother that we'd go visit her grave. She didn't serve in the military. I had twin sisters that died shortly after childbirth. We wouldn't put flowers on their grave. You know, so I thought Memorial Day was to remember those people in your family who died.
Right.
And so I think that's really important to go back, even look up some of the history, where it started, what the purpose, what the meaning of it was. There's so many great documentaries or movies on that we can watch about heroes who sacrificed everything. There's books that you can read. There's kids' books out there that talk about that too. So there's no reason, there's enough resources out there for us to be able to take that time and educate people what Memorial Day really is about.
You know, when I first was asking that question, I actually almost slipped and said the word celebrate. Like, how do you celebrate the day? And I changed it. I said commemorate as opposed to celebrate, because you're right. It is, there is a difference there. It's not a celebratory thing. It's not the 4th of July. It's not, you know, some happy celebration. And when I was a kid growing up, I was in Little League, and that was the day that we marched in the parade in town. Why were we marching in the parade? I don't know. That's just what we did every year. And so
it was fun.
You know, there's the firefighters would throw out candy, and, you know, we'd be just having a great time. And yeah, there was American flags and there was a military theme around the parade. But as a young kid, I didn't really know what it was for. It wasn't until it became real and it hit home in our family that that I really started to understand the true meaning of the day. And even when I was serving in the military, it didn't have as much of a meaning as it did afterwards. And you're right. I think there needs to be more knowledge, more awareness, and more work to be done to help continue the legacy of the people who have served and sacrificed themselves, and make sure that sacrifice is not forgotten as we move forward, right? Debbie, could you talk to us a little bit about the inspiration behind founding America's Mighty Warriors and the work that you guys are doing to help improve the lives of Gold Star families and military families?
You bet. I think for me, the main factor that started to get me in that direction was we had tons of support between when we were notified and the funeral. And after the funeral, I live here in Arizona, so I'm not near the military base where Mark's teammates were at. A lot of them were still in Iraq anyway. But I was all alone. I've been a widow for almost 29 years. And so for me, the journey of the beginning of grief was just starting, and I was all alone, and it sucked. I'm not one of those people that's going to feel sorry for myself or boo-hoo and just lay around and cry all day. What good would that do? It wouldn't bring Mark back. But I purposed that the next person, I would be there for them, that was a Gold Star mom or family member, that I would walk alongside them. I had no idea it would only be 7 weeks after Mark passed that we lost Mike Mansour, a teammate of his who fell on a grenade and was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. But I went to support that family. I didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't started a foundation yet, but just knew how important it was to have someone else there who understood, you know, and for them to see she's still alive, she made it. Because there were times, literally, I felt like I wasn't going to survive. Not only did my heart hurt emotionally, it hurt physically. And so I went there to support them. I would just happen to be in Washington, D.C. when another one of our SEALs came in with his face blown off, or another one came in with legs blown off at a different time. I live in Arizona. You don't just happen to be in Washington, D.C. And so I started to see that God is probably orchestrating my steps. And then Mark's amazing last letter home that he wrote about 2.5 weeks before he was killed. And he talks about lots of amazing things in there. And I encourage all your listeners to go to our website at americasmightywarriors.org and read that powerful letter. But one of the things he talks about is doing more random acts of kindness. So wouldn't you pay for a stranger's cup of coffee or meal or tank of gas? And how we could change our world and our reputation as a country if we do those things. So I started doing those things. I could afford to buy a meal, you know, coffee, a tank of gas. Tanks of gas were a lot cheaper back then. Excuse me, my allergies are so bad. But, you know, I could do that to honor Mark.
Right.
And then, you know, finally realized God had a new purpose for me through the pain, that I did have a new passion. And that's when we started America's Mighty Warriors, to be able to support all of our troops that are still serving, all of our veterans, all of our other Gold Star families. And it's our honor to be able to do that. We do retreats in Texas for our Gold Star families. We have a house in Arizona and one in Florida where they can come stay for free, and we pay for their airfare and their travel costs to do that. We do a big dinner before the Army-Navy game. We've sent out Christmas ornaments at different times to Gold Star families, just things to be able to remind them that we'll never forget your hero and we won't forget you. Our biggest program right now is probably our Helping Heroes Heal program. That's for our veterans with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, many of them struggling with suicide. We're paying for hyperbaric oxygen therapy, hormone and supplement therapy, so things that are actually healing them. So many of the treatments and medications they're taking right now are just masking the symptoms. It's not healing them. And that's what we chose to do to be able to do that. A lot of advocacy and education. You'll find us up on Capitol Hill, you know, fighting for benefits. You know, it used to be when we were more active in war, rules of engagement, those type of thing. But we're currently fighting, trying to pass legislation so the hyperbaric is something that's standard for all of our veterans.
Yeah, and that's, I did some research on the hyperbaric chamber and the type of things that it can improve, in addition to mental health conditions like TBIs and things like that, where it just has such a profound impact on the people who use that treatment, but it's just not easily accessible. So this type of work is super important that you are doing. Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier too about how you were in Washington and another Navy SEAL came home. He had his, you know, these terrible injuries, and you know, it's more the Gold Star families, I think, are 100% super important, absolutely need that type of support. But there's also the wounded warriors who come home with those injuries and different things that are going on with them that they need the support as well. It's a different kind of loss, you know, your loss of mobility or independence or different things like that. But there's another kind of loss, and it's not celebrated or commemorated, or you know, there's not a special day marked out for that, for other people to stop and pause and reflect on this the way Memorial Day has. But it's just a thing that we don't do a very good job at, I think. Once when people come home, mm-hmm. we don't provide the support that they need. The needed support, I should say. There's support out there, but it may not be the type of stuff that they actually need. You know, you're just throwing prescription right. drugs and things like that at a problem. It's not necessarily getting it better. It's just masking symptoms.
Right.
So the work that you do, in addition to supporting the Gold Star families, you know, getting out there and getting out on Capitol Hill and raising awareness for different things, I think is super important as well. And you know, when I hear you talking about what you do, it just reminds me of the resilience that's needed to be able to continue and make the best of a bad situation. I mean, I guarantee you, with not knowing anything about you, which I do know a little bit about you, but had I not known anything about you, I guarantee you would move heaven and earth to get Mark back if you could, if that was a possibility. But, you know, we all know that that's not. But you're not letting that just bring you down and right. sinking you into this dark hole that you can never get out of. You're making the best of this bad situation. And you're here now talking about all this advocacy work. You know, and you have been to Capitol Hill several times. You've, you know, all these resources that are available or will be available in the future are because of the work that you and people like you are doing. And without that resiliency, without that ability to bounce back, none of this would be happening or being pushed in that right direction. Right.
And I tell people, excuse me, I'm so sorry with the allergies. I tell people all the time that you or I had no choice in the news that was given to us the day that we were notified of the right. death. But we do have a choice how we respond. And to curl up in a ball and feel sorry for myself would not have brought Mark back. You know, the stress that'll physically make you sick, you know, nobody stinking wants to be around you. And that's not the way that God wired me. So, you know, we all have, no matter what our circumstances, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's loss, you do have a choice how you respond in the midst of that. And so I think that's why it's so important for us then to choose, not with our feelings, because we sure didn't feel like we wanted to get up and go do something, but with our will. Our mind is so strong, and we can take that and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go exercise today. I'm not going to lay in bed all day and grieve and cry. I'm going to get up and do something. And in the beginning, I made myself do that. I said, just get up and walk to the end of the driveway. I had a pretty short driveway. I don't know if it was 25 feet long, but that was overwhelming at me that time just to get out of bed. And so by doing that, I pushed myself. And then the next day I'm like, walk a little farther. So I'd walk to the end of the street, which was only two houses over. Not like it was a big deal. I walk 5 miles a day every day. I don't go to bed now if I haven't walked 5 miles a day. And so you can choose to do those things. When I did that, I have the benefit of the endorphin that's released. Maybe not when you're only walking 25 feet to the end of your driveway, but when you do a good physical workout, there's a feel-good endorphin that does make you feel better. You know, you want to get up, you get out in the sunshine. You know, I always tell people, go serve somebody else, do something for somebody else. Don't continue to focus inward if you're struggling with things. And then wake up every morning and find one thing to be grateful for. You'll find if you do that before your feet hit the ground, it changes your attitude the rest of the day. And you'll find other things, even in the midst of your struggles, that you can be grateful for.
Such an incredible message. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and share that message with us and for coming back on the show. I'm so thankful that you have been here to be a part of this special episode for Memorial Day. I want to introduce my next guest, Tony Price from the Gold Star Ride Foundation. I had Tony on the podcast last year in episode 198, and he talked about the foundation, and I wanted to invite him back onto the show for the special Memorial Day episode to talk about the Gold Star Ride Foundation and his thoughts on supporting Gold Star families. So welcome back, Tony. I'm glad to have you here.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm glad we could actually work this out. Because, you know...
Yeah, absolutely. And
my favorite thing to talk about is the Gold Star Ride Foundation work that we do.
Well, then this is a perfect opportunity to get you to talk about it, because that's what we want to talk about.
You bring the most unique mix of all the different people that I talk to, all the different podcasts, because you are yourself a Gold Star. So that brings you have a special flavor of what we get to bring into the conversation.
Yeah, and that's, I think, why I appreciate so much what stuff like you and there's other people out there doing similar things for Gold Star families. I appreciate so much what you guys are doing because, you know, there are Gold Star families out there who they, not only did they lose their loved one, like, you know, all of us have, but they've lost so much more. They lost their source of income. They lost their potentially housing, and they lost so many different things,
those things happen
in that whole process.
One of the... You know, that's not uncommon for us to help pay the bills. I'll just put it that way. Because one of the things that we've come to learn that we've learned is that Gold Star families in particular, and I guess I really can't say anything about any other types of families because I don't work with any of the other ones. But one of the things that I've learned is that if they need a helping hand, that's all they want is a helping hand. They want just a, you know what? They're struggling this week, but they're not going to be struggling next week. So they just want that little helping hand to get them through the week. And they don't want anybody to parade them around as they don't want anybody to feel sorry for them. They want their loved one to be remembered. You want your brother to be remembered, just like all the Gold Stars. They want the fallen hero to be remembered, but they don't want anything much more than that. They don't want a lot of pomp and circumstance. So one of the things that we've learned how to do in the 5 years that we've been working is provide those things while maintaining the dignity that the family really wants. And sometimes that's hard to walk that line, but that's one of the things that we do. And I often want to get the Gold Star families that I get to go meet. And why I haven't met you in person yet, I'm not really sure. I don't know what part of the country you're in. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I'm in the Phoenix, Arizona area. So down there. I know last time we talked,
I am through Phoenix. I think I've been through Phoenix five or six times. So why we haven't met yet, I'm not really sure. But
we'll make it happen one of these days.
So when we meet, I may ask the American Legion or the VFW or the AMVETS or whatever fraternity is in the neighborhood, I might ask them to come out and help me support you in whatever thing it is that you need for that moment. But we do it with delicate gloves. So, you know, we're not about trying to embarrass anybody. You know, we're just get as many people as we can to remember the fallen hero. And then we kind of quietly go off and whatever helping hand is needed is whatever helping hand is needed.
Right. And that's, I think, the key aspect of what the Gold Star Ride Foundation is all about. It's going out there and providing support where it's needed, when it's needed, to the families of the fallen heroes who are not here to be able to pick up that slack. And so you guys come around, and that's an important thing that you guys do, is help out those families.
Yes.
In that
and, you know, I don't mind saying that remembering the fallen hero is the number one thing on their list. Every family that we visit, number one thing on their list, as long as they're a legitimate family, because believe it or not, I still get a phone call from people once in a while who say, yeah, I'm a Gold Star family, but they're really not. And when I say they're really not, I mean, they're not even related to anybody who ever served in the military. Because
they're just looking for that handout,
fast
and
loose
with the
rules of what the DOD calls a Gold Star. And I think we talked about that in episode, was it 198? Is that what you said? So we talked more in more depth in that one. So anybody who really wants to find out how fast and loose we play with the rules, they can go back to 198. When it comes, that's the number one thing that we're doing, is helping that family make sure that the fallen hero's name is never forgotten. That's number one on our list.
And that's such an important thing. And especially on a day like Memorial Day, where that's what this day is all about, is remembering those people who fought and served our country. They sacrificed their lives. They sacrificed their futures. They sacrificed so much for all of us. It seems like the very least we could do is just remember them.
And you don't mind me making a little opining here. This is a purely personal viewpoint. Okay. You know, one of the things that has become tradition with the Memorial Day is everybody wants to go have the backyard barbecue and eat hot dogs and watch baseball and do those kinds of things. And in recent years, there's been an awful lot of movement toward, hold on a second, it's not about hot dogs and baseball, it's about remembering the fallen heroes. And while that is true, this is my personal opining that I wanted to throw out there. You can either agree with me on this, or you can educate me on this. But I believe that every fallen hero that we are supposed to be remembering on Memorial Day, every single one of them put their life on the line first, so that the rest of us could have a better life. And this is, laughter is a big, big deal. And I do my best to make sure that every Gold Star family that I visit at least cracks a smile. If I can't get them to laugh out loud, at least I want them to at least crack a smile. And that's the reason why, because nobody would give up their life so that their family could have it miserable. So that, you know, they don't want, And they didn't want it when they were alive, and I'm sure they don't want it now that they're not alive anymore. They didn't sign up for you to be miserable. They signed up for you to have it better. And like I said before, you can either educate me or agree with me.
No, I'm going to 100% agree with that. I know, just thinking about my brother, you know, he was the type of person, he walked in the room and everybody, the room just got better. Like everyone was happy. Hey, Steve's here. And it's just a great time. Right. The Memorial Day, celebrate it. You know, obviously remember, honor those people who gave their lives, but celebrate as well. Like, have fun, enjoy the day off, enjoy the time that you have with family and friends and whoever's in your life, whoever's in your neighborhood, or, you know, just happens to be there at the time. Have hamburgers and hot dogs if that's what you want to do.
You know, one of my favorite things,
crack to do, a beer with some friends or something, or whatever it is that you want, you know?
Anyway, Memorial Day for me, I'm going to do my best to enjoy the entire day. I think I have to ride about 465 miles on Memorial Day. And I know nobody cares about me riding miles. And nobody cares that, you know, these flags are all ripped up and stuff, because I've been in so many parades and these flags have been on the back of my motorcycle, and nobody cares about that stuff. And I get that and I understand that. But Memorial Day is the day after the MIA POW demonstration against our nation's capital. And I'm sure you've talked about that. That's not my organization. It's not my thing. I just go there and participate with that. But I do have some good rides coming up, and I would like to extend an invitation to anybody on two wheels, or even if you just have a convertible, put the top down. You might have to get wet because we ride in the rain, but you know, we're going to make you, if you're coming in a convertible, we're going to make you keep the top down the whole time. No, of course, I'm joking a little bit about that, but we do have some pretty good rides coming up. When I get home from Memorial Day, it'll be somewhere around June 10th. And here's the one I'll talk about. On the last Saturday in June, I think it's June 24th, will be the one and only Gold Star Ride Foundation Laugh Ride. That's our one and only foundation, or excuse me, that's our one and only fundraiser for the year. And this year we have it set up. We're going to leave Bloomington, Minnesota, and we are going to ride somewhere in the neighborhood of 509 miles and have lunch. And then we're going to turn around and come back. And then we're going to have a welcome home party at the end of the whole thing. So Saturday night, June 24th, be the welcome home party. The bar is called The Full Tilt. It's at the corner of Highway 100 and 494 in Bloomington, Minnesota. Most of your listeners probably aren't anywhere near there, so they don't know where that is. But that's where we're going to be. In our welcome home party, we're currently planning to be back with all the motorcycles. And we only have 25 motorcycles. But all 25 motorcycles are going to come back after 1,000 miles of riding sometime around 10:30 at night. So it'd be great to have you for our welcome home party. Be great if you want to come along on the ride, too. Everybody who rides gets to earn an iron butt patch, a Saddle Sore 1000, which is what that is right there. I got that one 4 years ago. And we're going to get one of those again. So that's what we're doing on the 24th day of June this year. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but like I said,
sounds great.
People listening to your podcast, and again, you do such a great job with your podcast. The vast scope of guests that you're able to bring on and the subject matter that you can talk about, it's pretty amazing to me. So I want to thank you personally for the work that you're doing. And the next time I'm in Phoenix, by golly, we're going to break bread and maybe tip a little scotch together.
Sounds great. Well, thanks again, Tony, for taking the time to come on the show, sharing a little bit about the Gold Star Ride Foundation and your thoughts on Memorial Day. I want to introduce my next guest, Thad Forrester. Thad was a guest on the show earlier this year in episode 246. But Thad, like me, is a Gold Star brother. His brother, Mark, was an Air Force combat controller, and he was killed in action in Afghanistan. He's also the author of the book, My Brother in Arms, and the host of the podcast, Patriot to the Core. So, Thad, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Good to be here.
Yeah. Really glad to have you here. And I want to talk in this episode, the special Memorial Day episode, I want to talk a little bit about your family, your brother, how he's impacted you, and the meaning of Memorial Day to you and your family. But first, as the host of the podcast, Patriot to the Core, I have to imagine that you're a fairly patriotic guy. Did Mark's service or his sacrifice influence your patriotism at all? And if it did, how did you carry those lessons that you learned from him through what you're doing today?
Yeah, no doubt that his service and then his sacrifice affected my patriotism and my outward expression of my love of our country and our freedoms. I just hadn't thought about it much, Scott, just like a lot of people, probably many that listen, I felt like it didn't really apply. I'd never been impacted personally, I didn't think. And so, yeah, I realized that the price of freedom is great. And it came with blood and comes with blood by many, many people. And I was raised in a school where we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. We stood and said it. And I appreciate that. I never realized until much later on in my life that doesn't always happen. It's probably becoming less and less frequent now. And thanks to Mark's example, I definitely have a much more appreciation, and I feel such a sense of gratitude and being fortunate to have the freedoms that we have in our country, and to show tremendous, appreciation to the many people who serve and have served our country too.
Yeah. I mean, I had to imagine that just based on the name of your podcast, that you were a fairly patriotic guy. And I was just curious to see how that influenced it. And you're right. Before you are in that position, before like either of our families were in that position where we lost a loved one, it was just something that you don't think about. That's something that happens to other people. And that was my experience anyways, is, you know, you hear about something on the news, it's sad. But you know, it's just a thing that happens, and you know, you don't think about it too much until it happens to your family. And then it becomes all the more tragic. Now, with this episode being a special Memorial Day episode, I want to talk about Memorial Day. So what does Memorial Day actually mean to you and your family? And what do you guys typically do to commemorate the day? You know, is it the typical, you know, backyard barbecue type thing? Or do you guys do something special to honor and remember Mark and his service?
Yeah, it's the typical cookout kind of thing. We like to involve a swimming pool somewhere because that's when the pool's usually open officially. But, you know, we haven't changed how we do Memorial Day much. The only difference really is I think we take time to remember Mark and to do something like memorial push-ups, which I talk about in my book. It's definitely very common in the combat control community. Do something for me. I like to do something strenuous. It's a long ruck. It's some kind of workout, some kind of hero wad, whatever. It could be something service related. But so we pretty much do the same thing. We just have added a little something in there to remember Mark and the others. And also, it obviously is different now too, because I understand a little more about what Memorial Day is and that it's, you know, that it's more than a 3-day weekend. I've got a bill here. My water bill, they always put a little note in here like Happy Easter, Merry Christmas, that kind of thing, whatever the month is, and they've got Happy Memorial Day. And I don't make a big deal about that. I mean, I don't, you know, you and I know that's not really the most appropriate thing to say, but, you know, I don't get bent out of shape over it at all. Most people just sure. don't know. But I that's something I wouldn't say now is I would not say Happy Memorial Day.
Right. I think growing up, that was something that we did say. And I know, as you know, from my experience growing up, I played baseball as a kid in Little League, and we got to march in the town parades in our, you know, baseball uniforms, and we'd march around in the Memorial Day parade. But to me, that was what Memorial Day was back then. It was a day off from school. We got to march around in the parades. We went back home and we had, you know, backyard barbecue kind of thing. And that was what Memorial Day was. And it wasn't until much later in life, like you said, that I actually learned what the actual meaning was. And I think things like that sentiment that you just mentioned there, Happy Memorial Day, it's definitely not a happy occasion, you know, given the sacrifices that go into it. However, I will say that I do believe that any one of the people who have sacrificed themselves for this country, they want us, the people who are left behind, they want us to be happy. You know, they don't, mm-hmm. they're not out there, yeah. You know, fighting and sacrificing themselves for their loved ones to be sad and miserable and upset. And I'm not disagreeing with you at all in terms of that sentiment, because I agree actually that it's kind of an odd thing to say when you think about what the day actually is. But, you know, it's not a day in my mind to just be, you know, sad and depressed and feeling hopeless and grief, yeah. grief stricken and all that. It's a day to honor, to remember, and enjoy the freedoms, enjoy the opportunities that we have available to us. And I think that's, to me anyways, that's the biggest thing. I don't know. Maybe you have a different take on it.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'll say that the very first Memorial Day after Mark was killed, so it would have been 2011. I was in the grocery store that morning and I saw the newspaper and it had on the front page, it was talking about Memorial Day, and it had a picture of my brother. And I was not expecting that. And so that hit me pretty hard. I think it just caught me off guard. Sure. And I was like, wow, okay, this is real. And this is why we have Memorial Day, to remember guys like him.
You know, I had a very similar experience with just the extreme volume of news reporters, and whether it's television, radio, newspapers, that just all these people coming out to share this story about my brother. I don't know if you had a similar experience like that, but to me, it's like, you know, sometimes when there's a death in the family, a loved one, it's a much more private occasion. But in this case, it was completely public. It was out there for the whole world to see. And that I was not prepared for. Was that your experience as well?
Yes. Yes. In fact, now you had a lot. I've read your book, and you definitely had a lot right up front. I didn't have as much as you did, but at least not initially. But I will say, Scott, that whole period, because there was like over a week's period from his death to when the funeral was, and I just wanted some alone time and some quiet time, and I wanted some time with him. So I had to go to the funeral home. The morning of the funeral, I called the director up early, and I went up there early, 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 and just sat with Mark's body and had my own time with him, because I was just dying for some, you know, some peace and quiet. And I certainly appreciate everyone's support. But I mean, it can be overwhelming, right, when you've got the death of an active duty going on and all the media around it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on this special edition of Drive On, and sharing your family's experience and your story, and you know, talking a little bit about Mark, and giving us the opportunity to honor him and his memory as well. I really do appreciate it. I'm really glad to have you a part of this special episode. I want to introduce our next guest, Tammy Pulaski. And Tammy is a Gold Star mother, having lost her son, Jeremiah Pulaski, on March 26, 2011. And she's also the president of the Arizona Department of the American Gold Star Mothers Organization, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a little bit. But first, Tammy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and join me here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the interview.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, you know, families like ours, having, you know, lost loved ones in service to our country, we know pretty intimately and pretty deeply, like, the meaning of Memorial Day. It affects us, obviously. But part of Memorial Day is honoring and remembering the people who have sacrificed their lives in service to our country. And I want to take a minute to allow you to tell us a little bit about your son, Jeremiah, and the type of person and soldier that he was.
Yeah, my son, Jeremiah, was, I always knew he was going to be in the military. I knew from the time he was really little. And I know a lot of moms say that about their boys, because they all like to play war or with their guns or whatever. But he always just excelled. He excelled in history, anything that had to do with wars, he excelled in that area. He was a tactician. He loved tactics. When he was a little bit older in his high school, he joined a paintball team. And in that team, they played against a pro team, and they were just playing around. It wasn't a real event. And the pro team wanted him to join because he was such a tactician. You know, he was really good at what he did. Later on, you know, we talk about no man left behind. When he was a youth, he was in a youth group where they went up north, and they were hiking. It had to do with independence and, you know, being team and all that. And they had this hike that they had to do. Well, there was a young lady who couldn't make the hike. She was giving out. She wasn't going to do the whole hike. And so he fell behind. He was in the front of the pack, and he fell behind. and walked behind her, and the whole time encouraged her to get up that hill and get over the hill and make it. And she did. And he was last, but he was okay because she made it. And that's the type of person he was. He was definitely, if you were a part of him, if you were his friend, if you were his brother, if you were any family member, he had your back. He always had your back. Later on, they did an EIB. I don't know if you know what an EIB is, but they did the EIB test. And part of that EIB test is they have to march 25 miles with full gear, full pack, and in 8 hours and 9 miles in 2 hours. So he was ahead. He was very strong, very fit. That was not a problem for him. He was ahead of the pack, and then one of his brothers told him that one of the other brothers was falling behind, and they didn't think he was going to make it, that he was going to get through. And so, again, he went back to the back, and he followed along with them and pushed him, you know, probably with a few strong words that they say back then, you know. But he pushed him, and this young man passed his EIB because of that, and we actually got a letter from the commander saying how impressed they were with him, because he could have made it in a lot more time than what he did. Sure. So it was great. Jeremiah served in Afghanistan and he served in Iraq, and he at one point he was put in for a Silver Star for basically saving his whole platoon. He put his life on the line for him. And there's a lot of them that are here today with families because of him. They lowered it to a bronze with a valor. And we received that posthumously after he passed away. But he was an amazing guy. Amazing, amazing and man.
It's so amazing to hear these stories. I've talked to other Gold Star families, and just hearing the stories of their loved ones, the type of person that they were, the selflessness, you easily, when you're talking about the EIB test that he was going through, and going through and doing your best at that without regard for the other people, like just focusing, is a very easy thing to do. You could just have the blinders on and just focus on getting through yourself and not worry about, you know, everybody else getting through it. But, you know, he took that step back and went and helped that person to cross the finish line and get through that. That person may not have had it in them to get through it on their own. You know, but then that selflessness kicked in, and, you know, saving his fellow soldiers, that's another thing, you know, that just kicked in. That's completely a selfless act, right? Now with all of this, you know, to me, these stories are great. Being able to hear these stories from people like you and other Gold Star families are great. But I want to be able to make sure that the legacy of this and the sacrifice of these fallen service members are not forgotten, and that the memory of these people continues so that it can serve as an inspiration for future generations. Not saying that everybody needs to sign up to the military to be exactly like, the top of the top of the top of everything, but that selflessness, that desire to go out and serve not only just your country, but the person to your left, to your right, that are out there to complete a mission. You know, how can we ensure that legacy of these sacrifices and these stories continue?
Well, first of all, it's really important to speak their name, and it's important to tell their stories. A lot of people are afraid of talking, even to myself or a loved one, for fear that we're going to get upset or sad or whatever, but it's not like that. We love hearing stories about our loved ones and what they did. And, you know, sometimes we may shed a tear, we may not, but it's inspiring to know that others remember our loved ones. And secondly, I think it's really important that we teach our youth, that we go and make sure that our youth hear these stories, not just the history behind that war, but the story behind the men and women who served in that war. I think that's super important.
Right. I totally agree. Just after my brother was killed, that was one of the things that as a family, we decided we wanted to be the ones controlling the narrative and telling his story, because mm-hmm. We had news reporters. I'm sure you had things similar like this. We had news mm-hmm. reporters showing up, and they wanted to cover the story, and they would cover the story one way or the other, with or without us. But if it was without us, they were probably going to go to a random grocery store parking lot, talk to somebody who is getting in their car mm-hmm. with their groceries, who's got ice cream melting in the trunk, who's just going to rush through a response and say, oh yeah, it's sad, and oh, it's terrible. But that would be the end of it. And it's not really the story. And so I agree with what you're saying here. Getting that story out there is important. So how would you want Jeremiah to be remembered? For the people out there who are listening, what would you tell people about him and about what you want them to carry away about him?
Well, I mean, I want people to remember that he was a son, he was a brother, he was a grandson, he was a friend. He was a military brother, and he was loving. He was very patriotic. He believed in his country, and he fought for this country for a reason. I want people to know that he did what he loved. And in the end, he wasn't as happy about what he had to do, but he did it, and he did it with honor and pride. And he sacrificed for us, for all of us. And I just want people to remember, all of them, that this is something you sign on that dotted line, and you get, you know, they don't have to.
Exactly. Well, that's a great takeaway, a great way to remember Jeremiah. We're here with Tammy Pulaski, a Gold Star mother and the president of the Arizona Department of the American Gold Star Mothers Organization. So, Tammy, could you tell us a little bit about the mission of American Gold Star Mothers and what it is that the organization does?
Well, I mean, they have a formal mission, and it's long, so I'm going to tell you a little bit briefly about what that mission is. Foremost is patriotism. So we want to make sure that we teach and we share our children and our heroes and our military, and do it with pride and honor. We are also a veterans service organization. So we volunteer, and we volunteer a lot for other organizations. So we just let people know we're here to serve, and you tell us what you want us to do, and we'll do it. So, for instance, we're going to go to the Flagstaff stand down tomorrow, and we're going to just be there to help the veterans as they come in and serve them. And so that's a great mission. The other part is to remember our fallen, teach patriotism, inspire, respect the flag, and teach our youth about it. Support all Gold Star mothers and promote peace and goodwill. So that's a short version.
Sure. Well, you know, it's a great mission, because, you know, it takes into account more than what the name entails, right? The American Gold Star Mothers, you might hear that and you might think, okay, well, the only thing that they're interested or concerned with is the Gold Star Mothers, but there's a bigger picture there. And I think you guys recognize mm-hmm. that in your mission. And I noticed on the American Gold Star Mothers website, there's a phrase that says, "Lean on me." And this phrase reminded me of the Army Infantry's motto, "Follow me." And mm-hmm. both of those phrases, in my mind anyways, bring up the idea of like a leader who's experienced challenging situations, but they step forward to guide others anyways. As an infantryman, I was an infantryman myself, and follow me signifies like leading into battle, facing the potential dangers and the hardships that come along with going into battle. And in my interpretation, lean on me carries a similar sentiment, suggesting that the Gold Star mothers, yourself included, you understand the journey that potentially future Gold Star mothers will be going through, and you're there to support them and guide them as they're joining the ranks. It's an organization, or not an organization, but it's a a club, if you will, that nobody wants to be a member of, but you kind of get forced into it when your loved one passes away. Can you share your thoughts on that significance of Lean on Me and the role in supporting the Gold Star mothers in your organization?
Sure. So Lean on Me actually, to me, has two meanings. It's not just for other Gold Star mothers, which it is. We lean on each other. And this, my group of ladies that I am with, I love them, adore them. I don't know what I would do without them. We share our children. We share each other and experiences. And when we need each other, we're there for each other. But the other part of Lean on Me is the part of what we do for veterans, because veterans go through in service many things that is challenging and difficult. And we have wounded warriors that come back in many ways. It could be wounded warriors physically. It could be wounded warriors, PTSD, TBI. There's other ways that they come back. And so for us, we want to be able to be there and allow them to lean on us so that we can support them and help them and guide them and get them through whatever it is that they need to get through.
Yeah, that's incredible that people like yourself who have suffered such a tremendous loss. I mean, no parent should ever have to bury their child, but you have suffered through this loss, but yet you're still strong enough to be there and tell other people who need help to lean on you for that assistance, whether it's another Gold Star family, whether it's a veteran, whether, you know, whoever it is, there are people out there who need the help, but you're finding the strength to be able to go out there and do that. And that's, to me, it's incredible that there are people like you and others who are like you out there who are able to do that, who have that, that strength in order to stand up and support those other people. Now, just switching gears just a little bit here. Grief is something that all Gold Star families share. They understand grief. They know grief. They've all been there. But not everyone copes with it in the same way. In your experience with dealing with other Gold Star families, what are some of the challenges, or maybe in your own experience, what are some of the challenges that some of these families face, and is there something that that you guys do in your organization to address some of these challenges?
Well, I kind of already spoke on one of them. You know, my son died 12 years ago, but I still talk about him all the time. One of those challenges is people tend to think, oh my goodness, it's been 12 years. Isn't it time for her to pass on, or not pass on, but move sure. forward? And I'm always moving forward, but we never forget our children. They will always be a piece of us. And just like our child that is alive and we brag about and talk about, the same thing with that person that has gone on. The other challenge is, I had to think. Just knowing what a Gold Star mom is. Too often I'll tell somebody I'm a Gold Star mom and they'll say, oh, great, that's wonderful. You know, not really realizing what a Gold Star mom is. And of course, I have to educate them. Too often people don't really get it. They don't know what Gold Star means. So that's the other challenge we face.
Yeah, and That is a challenge, that it's not just the general public who has no military affiliation whatsoever, who, of course, there are people in the general public who do have that issue. But there's people who, even in the military, sometimes they don't mm-hmm. know what a Gold Star family is until they've been affected by the loss of a, you know, a fellow brother or sister in arms, who then they're exposed to that. That term, that phrase, even people, my father, he was traveling, and he, I'm not going to name names and say who it was, but there was a well-known senator who he happened to meet in an airport, and he asked my dad about what the pin was on his jacket. And he said, well, I'm a Gold Star father. And he said, well, congratulations. And my dad was like, I don't know how I can correct this guy. Like, it just was such an awkward moment. But, you know, it was just like a, you know, one of these situations where, like, these people probably should have known better. And that's part of why we want to have this episode and share stories like yours, your family's loss, the work that your organization is doing, and just basically sharing what a Gold Star family is. It's the families of the fallen service members who have died in service to our country. And that's, I mean, it's very simple, but it's not a, oh, congratulations kind of thing. None of us want to be included in this, you know, mm-hmm. but it is what it is. And we're there. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to support each other. And that's, you know, exactly what you guys are doing. And it's really wonderful, the work that you do. Thanks for tuning in to this special Memorial Day episode. I want to thank everyone who took the time to join me in this episode, and to WTSM for giving me the opportunity to share this episode and all future episodes of Drive On through their station. For those of you who are new to the show, again, I want to thank you for checking it out. I hope this episode was enjoyable and informative. Going forward, our episodes are going to cover topics that are of interest to service members, veterans, and their loved ones. The tragedy when those people feel like all hope is lost, or that they have no place left to turn, like they've tried every option available to them and nothing seems to be working for them. This show is going to share stories from other veterans who have gone through difficult times and found their way to a better life. We also will have interviews with folks who represent organizations that are dedicated to helping veterans. The topics will vary from episode to episode, but they'll include things like mental health, career and educational resources, physical health, and other things that may just not be all that well known, other resources that people maybe just don't know about. And the goal is to provide hope to those who feel like all hope is lost. The show is going to air on Saturdays and Sundays on WTSMTV.com, and it will also continue to exist on driveonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I also want to remind you of a few resources that we talked about in this episode. First, if you want to support the Gold Star Ride Foundation, go to goldstarride.org. And on their homepage, they have a link to their donation page. You can also donate to America's Mighty Warriors at americasmightywarriors.org. Remember, their mission is to honor the sacrifices of our troops, the veterans, Gold Star families, by providing programs that improve the quality of life, resiliency, and recovery for those families. You can also read Mark Lee's last letter home, where he asks for more random acts of kindness to change our country and our reputation as a country, which I don't think is a half bad idea. Finally, you can learn more about American Gold Star Mothers at americangoldstarmothers.org. Thank you again to all of the guests who made this episode so special, and to you, the audience, for joining us today. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.